Welcome to this week's African Media. Today we'll first take a look at the latest on the Zone 9 collective bloggers from Ethiopia. They were recently restricted from leaving the country. Zelalem Kibret, one of the six bloggers, was about to set off for Paris on 16 November when Ethiopian authorities confiscated his passport and prevented him from boarding his plane. Immigration officials said he could not leave Ethiopia because he and other Zone 9 members had previously been arrested. Zone 9 bloggers were arrested on terrorism charges in April 2014. They were released on the Justice Minister's orders in July 2015 after being held for 15 months. Four of them were acquitted on all terrorism charges and were freed 3 months later. Soleyana Gebremichael, a Zone 9 co-founder who had left the country, was also acquitted. Sue Valentine, the Committee to Protect Journalists Africa Programme Coordinator, explains why this is worrying.
The fact that the authorities arrested these bloggers in the first place in April last year, held them for almost 18 months, is an indication of the Ethiopian regime's opposition to press freedom, its fear of criticism and of other points of view being shared. And so I suspect this may be purely punitive, or perhaps it's just a bureaucratic glitch, which would be the generous thing to believe. But we really don't know. But certainly based on their response to the bloggers initially and the fact that they did jail them for so long, even though they couldn't find charges to pursue against them that would actually stick, suggests that they're still opposed to what these bloggers did and are punishing them.
She explains just how non-existent the independent press is in Ethiopia.
We've had at least 40 to 50 Ethiopian journalists leaving the country in the last couple of years. As I've just mentioned, the Zone 9 bloggers were arrested simply for running a blog, presenting ideas, wanting to engage with citizens about what the Constitution says, the rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution but that are not applied in society. It's an oppressive press freedom environment where criticism is not tolerated.
While the bloggers are technically free, Valentine remains concerned at how they are being prevented from travelling, so in essence they are not truly free. She adds that the state has in fact appealed their release. On to our main story for today's magazine. Newspaper editor Suleiman Salah has been taken into police custody on the 23rd of November. On the 25th, he was hospitalized and he was finally released on the 27th. That arrest made him the fifth journalist to be arrested in the space of 10 days in Niger. This is all the more shocking since Niger was one of the first countries to sign the Declaration of Table Mountain in 2011, calling for the decriminalization of media offenses. Claire Kanskriber, the head of the Reporters Without Borders Africa desk, explains why this is unusual in Niger and how far the situation has gone now.
Overall, on the continent, on the African continent, journalists are harassed on a daily basis. But it's worrying in Niger because, as I said, Niger had sort of set a different standard for press freedom over the past few years since the president Issoufou was in power. So this can be analyzed as taking a step backwards on advances that had been made in press freedom. Another worrying information was that apparently Suleiman Salah, the editor of Le Courrier, who was under arrest since the 23rd of November and who was then transferred to hospital because he had a health crisis, has been pressured to quit from his position as the editor-in-chief of the newspaper. So overall, there is increased pressure on the Nigerian press, and of course this sends a very worrying signal as electoral periods are always one of tension in certain countries.
She explains that the government needs to be careful since it is the journalist's duty to report in the fairest manner.
I think the Nigerian government needs to understand, needs to realize that this type of measures of censoring information, of preventing journalists from doing their work is only driving the level of suspicion to a higher level and is only driving the level of controversy to a higher level. And if elections are to take place in a peaceful and inclusive manner in February, it is very important that the press is allowed to report. I would also say that the press being what it is in Niger and being very, let's say, involved, or with very strong opinions, it is also the responsibility of journalists to report fairly and with balance on the issues that they're covering. I mean, newspapers are not a political instrument, they're an information instrument.
I spoke to Boubacar Diallo, the former president of Le Maison La Presse. He says why these arrests happen more frequently.
On the political level here, it's been really tense over the past few months. There is still a lot of controversy. As you know, we are getting closer to the presidential elections. And the opposing parties, those against the incumbent president, dispute the credibility of the upcoming electoral process. They don't trust the existing voters' lists and they question the legitimacy of its makeup. And the same goes for the Electoral Commission. So this debate is taking place right now in Niger, and most of the politicians do not get along at all, and they keep on challenging one another. And since opposition leader Hama Amadou came back here after being away in exile, things got even worse. There's been quite a number of arrests of some militants from opposing parties, and especially some of Hama Amadou's followers, the leader who just came back.
He explains why this situation has become increasingly worrisome for journalists on the ground.
This situation really worries us because we do have laws here in Niger that allow us to carry out our work as journalists. And in 2010, proper legislation was introduced to protect press freedom. A law forbids the unwarranted detention of journalists and also forbids their arrest. It's clearly written in the text. A judge can't issue a warrant of arrest against a journalist for slander. But here you go. Today, journalists, at least for these types of offences, are automatically taken into custody. And now the situation is even worse because we feel like we can't even report on the ground. Even when we try to gather information, it becomes a crime. They don't even let us gather the information, process it, broadcast the story. We're being arrested. So, you see, there's a law in place, a law that's not respected by those who are supposed to enforce it.
The 30th of November was Niger's National Press Freedom Day. Diallo explains why journalists in the capital, Niamey, decided to boycott the celebrations.
Yes, we decided to boycott the celebrations of the 30th of November, Niger's National Day for Press Freedom. It was very frustrating for us, but we just couldn't celebrate press freedom when there is none in Niger today. We're suffering when reporting on the ground, so we held a boycott on the evening of the 30th. For 2 full hours, radios went silent and television screens went blank and stopped broadcasting. On TV in Niamey, screens went blank with only one message stating that everything needed to be done to save freedom of the press that's being threatened by the powers in place here in Niger. So for 2 hours, nothing happened. And we got a lot of calls from listeners and viewers because they weren't aware of what was happening. So they called us to find out. And we explained. We believe it had an impact because it took place at peak viewing time and no one could watch or listen to the news. It's had an impact, and for us, that was the best way to show our discontent.
With the upcoming elections in February 2016, it's likely that journalists will continue to be targeted, an issue that Niger needs to address immediately if it wants to retain its status as one of the most advanced countries for press freedom in Africa.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
That's it for this week's African Media. For RFI, I'm Claire Broadhurst.